I do have the privilege to share with you on the subject of prayer. Thank you, Jean. I enjoy hearing Jean teach on giving. Just encourage us in the place of giving. And let's just take a moment here and give this time over to the Father. I want him to individualize what I'm sharing. I want you all to have something to take home with you. I want you to all have a deposit on the inside of you. We're getting ready to start a new year. I like New Year's. I do. I believe God just gave them to us as a gift. Because it's, you know, daily we should let things that are behind us, we should let go of them. But it's just something about that new year. For me it is anyway. It's like I'm letting go of 2018. God's got some great things for me in 2019. And so I'm going to, and for you. And so I'm going to share some things that will help you go into 2019 in a strong way. And it is in the place of prayer. But let's ask the Father. Father God, we just thank you for this opportunity that you've given us. And really what we're going to do today is we're just going to learn how to talk to you. Because that's what prayer is all about. You know, I pray, Father, that all of the hardness, the hard place of prayer, the mysticalness of it can be about prayer, the difficulty of prayer, all of that would be removed today in Jesus' name. That we'll just realize and have a greater revelation today of what prayer is truly about. And it's just communion and fellowship with you, Father. Just the same as I have family, I have blood family with me here today. And we just came out of a Christmas where we had a great time of communion and fellowship with each other. Well, that's the way it is, Father, with you. It was bought, it was paid for by the blood of Jesus. And that veil was rent where we can come freely into your presence. We can talk to you anytime, any place, anywhere about anything. And Father, you know that that's what you created us for, was for fellowship. And Jesus paid the price to bring us back to that place. And I pray that Jesus will be honored today in what we're saying and what we're going to be doing. And that we'll leave this place with a greater understanding of truly what prayer is and the simplicity of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, I'm going to look at my time. I won't keep you past 12:30. No, I won't keep you that long. I did think about this. We'll get out today and maybe we can beat the rush for lunch. That's always on Sunday. I do promise not to keep you long, but I'll keep. I always like to say this. I'll keep going as long as the anointing's there. When the anointing lifts, then it's time to go home. Don't you agree? All right. Well, I was thinking about this as I was preparing for it, and the Lord just kind of brought some things back to my remembrance. And I can remember some times in my life where prayer was very instrumental. The first place was when I got born again. And you know, you talk to God before you get saved. You do if you believe in a God. And I did. I talked to God. Man, I wanted to be saved so bad, but I didn't know how to get saved. But anyway, that's another story. I got saved 42 years ago. Then another great monumental time in my life was a prayer that I prayed and asked to be baptized with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Monumental. Besides being born again, it was the second best. Just like in the Bible, Jesus went, died on the cross, paid for our sins, brought us back into fellowship. What did God do? Book of Acts, second chapter, baptized them in the Holy Ghost. Changed their lives. Peter went from someone that denied Jesus before he died to preaching, and 3,000 people were saved. Monumental. And so, I want to say this, some people shy away from being baptized in the Holy Ghost and speaking in tongues, and it's a little scary, and it's this, and it's that. And I'll tell you, the first time I heard somebody speak in tongues, some of you will know this name, Karen Jones and I were at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship meeting, and there was a word of knowledge that came in tongues, and an interpretation, and Karen and I both looked at each other, and we went, what in the world was that? And we actually giggled, you know, and all this. But I'll tell you what it did. It put a hunger on the inside of me to know what that was and to be a part of it. And it was probably about 6 months later, I went to a Church of the Brethren Holy Ghost meeting, got baptized in the Holy Ghost, been speaking in tongues ever since. And I'm telling you what, it'll do wonders in your life and do wonders in your prayer life. Amen. So don't be afraid of it. It will revolutionize your life. So that's two major events that happen through prayer. And then I want to share one that's real precious to me, and I hope Caleb won't mind. This is about our grandson Caleb. Caleb is here today, our son Tim, our granddaughter Kaylin, which is his daughter, our granddaughter Callie, which is our son Toadie's daughter, and her friend Corbin. And I'm so honored not only to have you all here, but I'm honored to have them here with me today. And, of course, my husband, who is the greatest supporter that I have. But this story is about Caleb, and Caleb was about, he was between 4 and 5 years old, and I used to keep him while his parents worked. I retired so that I could do that. It was a special time. I didn't get to do it with any of the other grandchildren. But one day, Caleb and I were riding in the car. We were coming through town, and Caleb was, he had some issues with fear, as some young children have, and somehow that subject came up, and I was talking to him about fear and how he didn't have to fear, and that, you know, you can have Jesus in your heart, and Jesus will help you with that place of fear, and so on and so forth. And so I said, but you can talk to your mom and daddy about them, you know, leading you in a prayer to have Jesus in your heart. And you know what he said to me? He said, well, I'm talking to you. And I went, okay. So I said, Caleb, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? This was a prayer. Simple. Talk to the Father. And he said yes. So it was much an honor, a privilege for me to be able to do that. As a grandparent, if you've ever done that, you know. Or as a human being, and you've ever led someone in a prayer for salvation. It's one of the most precious things. So I did. Then we went home and we told Mom and Daddy and the family. And, you know, they were all happy with it. But that was another moment. Do you have moments in your life where you've had certain prayers, the prayer of salvation, certain times you've prayed and you've just seen God move? You know, there's times we talk to God and we got to wait. We wait. That's what faith is. We wait. We don't back up. I loved it when Jan shared a couple of Sundays back when she was giving her testimony. She said to God, I'm not giving up and I'm not giving in. So that's where you stand steadfast in prayer. That's where you stand steadfast in talking to the Father God and keeping that open door of communication. So today I'm going to give you, this is probably, that was three I gave you. This prayer that I pray is probably my fourth. Not that you have to put numbers on things, but this revolutionized my life when I learned to pray this prayer. I first taught this. If you all can believe it, it's the Ephesians 1 prayer, but I first taught it. It will be 2 years ago in February. I cannot believe when I look back on my notes. I said, I can't believe it's been that long. I don't know how many of you will get into it in just a minute, but I encouraged everybody then. We're going to look at it, but there's a prayer in Ephesians 1 prayed by Paul, and I encouraged us all to take that prayer and pray it daily. How many of you remember that? You know what? I dare say if any of us had prayed it every day for 2 years, I mean, we'd probably be hanging from the rafters. God would have done so much in our lives. But, you know, it's a place where you keep on keeping on. And the Lord brought it back to my remembrance, and he said to me, I want you to stir that up in them again. And I've got some revelation to share with you. When I shared that, I didn't have much revelation. I was just being obedient to what God told me to share that Sunday morning. But I have revelation that I hope will stir that up in you again. Or if you've been praying it each day, that will just keep, cause you to just keep on keeping on. But before we get to that prayer, I want to read you a story. It's just four paragraphs. This is out of the book, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World. And it's under the heading of The Price Has Been Paid. Listen to this story. The story is told of a young man who left the old country and sailed to America to make a new life in the new world. Before he left, his father pressed some money in his hand. Now, you got to think, he was traveling a long way and evidently wasn't coming back. So his father pressed money in his hand. It wasn't much, but it was all he had. He hoped it would tide the boy over until he found a job. His mother handed him a box of food for the journey. Then they kissed and hugged and tearfully said goodbye. You know, we've sent three granddaughters off to college. Of course, they're not traveling as far as this, but, you know, we can understand that just a little bit when you send your child off or your grandchild. On the boat, the young man gave his ticket to the porter and found his way to the tiny cabin he'd share with several others during the month-long voyage to New York. That evening at mealtime, the young man went topside, unwrapped a sandwich his mother had made. He ate silently as he watched the other passengers file into a large room crowded with tables. He listened to their chatty laughter and watched as waiters brought plates filled with hot, steaming food. But he just smiled, enjoying his mother's fresh homemade bread and the crisp apple his brother had picked that morning. "Bless my family," he prayed. The days went by slowly, and the young man's box of food quickly dwindled. But meals such as they offered in the dining room were certain to cost a lot. He'd need that money later. He ate alone in his cabin now. The smell from the dining hall made his stomach wrench with hunger. He allowed himself a few crackers and some cheese each day, whispering a prayer of thanks before scraping the mold off of the hard lump. A shriveled apple and the tepid rainwater he collected in a can completed his meager meal. 3 days out of New York, the last of the food was gone except for a wormy apple. The young man could take no more. Pale and weak, he asked the porter in broken English, "How much?" The porter looked confused. "Food," the young man said, as he held out some coins and pointed to the dining room. "How much?" Finally, the ship's steward understood. He smiled and he shook his head. "It costs nothing," he said, closing the immigrant's hand back around his money. "You're free to eat." The cost of food was included in the price of passage. Do you know, as the body of Christ, we're like this sometimes? Jesus paid a tremendous price to redeem us back to the Father and made every provision we could ever possibly have. And yet sometimes we act like the steward. Because you know what? We don't know. He didn't know. Some people say ignorance is bliss. Well, it might be in some situations, but it was not in this. It was not bliss to him. It was a hard place. And he didn't know. He thought he had to pay for it. How many times do you feel like you have to pay for your forgiveness? How many times do you feel like you have to pay to have joy or peace when it's already been paid for? How many times do you have to feel like you have to pay to be loved? Get people's approval? Do what you don't want to do just to be loved? It's already been bought and paid for, folks. Already bought. Already paid for. And I'm going to share a scripture prayer that we're going to learn to pray today. And as you learn to pray that, I can tell you that this Bible, like my Bible right here, you pray the prayer in Ephesians 1, this Bible will become like a new book to you. Your eyes will be opened. Your understanding will be open to everything that Jesus bought and paid for you to have. I'll be honest with you, when I got saved, all I wanted was to not go to hell. That's all I wanted. And I was so laden down with guilt and a bunch of other stuff. But it didn't matter about that. I just didn't want to go to hell. Any of you done that? I mean, and that's wonderful. That's great. I mean, God doesn't want us to go to hell because that's eternal. I don't know if as the body of Christ we understand what eternally really means. I think if we did, we would be a little bit quicker to share our salvation or our witness with other people. But, you know, Jesus paid the price for us to not have to do that. But, my goodness, he has given us so much more. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning is what Jesus did on the cross for us. And when I shared this 2 years ago, I did not have this revelation. But I want you to know, I've not prayed the prayer from Ephesians 1 every day, but I've prayed it a lot in 2 years. And because I have, I know that's why I can stand here today with the revelation that I have and share that with you. God doesn't want you left in the dark. This young man was totally in the dark. Totally misunderstood. So, the eyes of our understanding are going to be enlightened today. God's going to talk to us, and He's going to show us. And for each one of us, personally, He'll do that. Let's turn to Ephesians 1, since I've mentioned it so many times. Let's turn there. Now, I'm going to read it out of the Amplified first, Tim. But then I want to read it out of the Living Bible. I doubt that any of you probably have a Living Bible. This is the Living Bible that came out years ago. I know our sons had a Living Bible. I had a Living Bible. But I want to read it out of this book, out of that version. So Ephesians 1, starting with verse 15. Okay, this is Paul talking here. He said, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He's talking to the church at Ephesus. And he's saying, "I don't cease to give thanks to you." So that, what does that mean? If you don't cease from something, what does that mean? You're continually doing it. I'll go ahead and say this. I thought there was times during Christmas that I wasn't going to cease from eating. There were some days that felt like that, when you go to this event and this event and you have this and you have that. But anyway, I thought I'd lighten you all up just a little bit. But he said, "I don't cease from praying for you." And so this is a prayer that can be prayed, these next few verses, over and over and over and over. It's a perpetual prayer. It's an ongoing prayer. Paul prayed it often for the church. So we can pray it often for ourselves. We can pray it often for loved ones or whoever God puts on your heart. But he goes on to say, "For I always pray," this is what he prayed, "for I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation." What is a spirit of revelation? Spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's insight into the mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of him. Who wants to know God better? Don't we? We want to understand him, don't we? We want to know him better. I mean, he knows me perfectly. He does. He knows the good things of Wanda. He knows the not so good things of Wanda. He knows what my weaknesses are, my strengths are. But you know what? Oh, man, he loves me so much. He just loves me so much. This will happen by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you and how rich is his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. We'll keep on going. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, he seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all rule, authority, power, dominion, every name that's named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and in this world, but also in the age and the world which is to come. And he's put all things under his feet. He's appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church. And we're the church, a headship exercised throughout the church, which is his body, that's us, the fullness of him who fills all in all. For in that body lives the full measure of him who makes everything complete, who fills everything everywhere in himself. Now, this is a lot of words, and I can tell you this is a prayer that I pray. I don't always pray this version, and I'm going to have a handout that I'll give you at the end that will make it a little simpler for you. The verses that I understand the most are the first probably three. When we get down to the last ones, anyway, there's revelation that needs to come in those verses. But I want to read to you out of the Living Bible. Maybe this will be a little clearer for you that have never read this prayer before. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you wisdom to see clearly. Wisdom to see clearly. Do you see what you're asking for? Wisdom to see clearly. And really understand who Christ is and all that he has done for you. That's a tremendous prayer. If you didn't pray anything more than that, you know, I'm asking for wisdom. Do any of you need answers in here? Probably everybody in here needs answers. You need to know where to go, what to do, how to do it, when to do it. This prayer will line you up to get those answers to come to you. Let me go on. I pray that your heart will be flooded with light so that you can see something of the future he's called you to share. When your heart is flooded with light, when understanding comes. I mean, don't we want the future God has for us? Amen. Yeah, we want that. I want you to realize that God has been made rich because we who are Christ have been given to him. I pray that you'll begin to understand how incredibly great is his power to help those who believe him. What a wonderful prayer. I pray, Father, and when you pray this every day or whatever version you use, we can say, Father, I pray, I'll begin to understand. I don't understand, Father. I don't understand how incredibly great your power is. I mean, he raised Jesus from the dead. God did. He created the universe. He created each and every one of us. He knows the very hairs that are on your head. Do you know that? Do you know he knows how many hairs are on your head? The Bible says that. And I've heard Creflo say, if you don't know, if you don't have any hairs on your head, he knows how many hairs you don't have on your head. But anyway, I pray you'll begin to understand how incredibly great his power is to help those to believe him. He wants to help us. It's that same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead and seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand in heaven, far, far above any other king, ruler, dictator, or leader. Yes, his honor is far more glorious than that of anyone else in this world or in the world to come. In this world and the world to come. Far more honor. And you know, I'm just going to stop here, and I want just to say this. There's several young people in this room, and it's not because my grandchildren here, but young people. You know, see what the world's doing with the kids. It's trying to get them to esteem and honor sports figures. That's always been there, but it's on an increase now. Sports figures, musicians, especially musicians, and it all comes through social media. You know, God's wanting to bring us to the place where our eyes are open, our understanding, and the one that we honor is Jesus. Amen. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And you know, it's not just young people. It's us older folks, too. You got people you look at and you find out what they're doing, and you look at it all the time, and you want to see what they're doing and what they've done yesterday, what they ate the day before, and all that kind of stuff. Okay. All right. Yes, his honor is far more glorious than that of anyone else either in this world or in the world to come. God has put all things under his feet, made him the supreme head of the church, which is his body, filled with himself, the author and giver of everything everywhere. Amen. I could close and go home, but I won't. Now, what we're going to do with this prayer here is, you know, how do you do it? How do you get it to be a part of your life? And will it make a difference? I bet you've got a question. Will this really make a difference for me? Well, for one thing, it's the Word of God. Secondly, God says, I'll watch over my Word to perform it. It'll not return to me void. So that's another reason for it to work in your life. But I want to read you a story about someone who it did work in their life. And I think you'll enjoy this story. This book is by Mark Hankins. And just sit with me. Don't lose me, okay? Don't lose me as I read this to you. I started to just tell you about it, but I think you just need to hear some of it. In 1961, Dad Hagen, how many of you know who Brother Kenneth Hagen is? Okay, some of you do, some of you don't. He's a tremendous Word of Faith teacher man of God. He's gone home to heaven now. Established Rhema Bible College. Just a wonderful man of God. So this is who he's talking about here. He said, Dag Hagen ministered at my dad's church for the first time. I was just an 8-year-old pastor's kid and did not really pay attention to what he said. Caleb, pay attention. Over the years, time and time again, Dad Hagen would open his Bible to Paul's prayer in Ephesians 1 and say, this is not a prayer for sinners or for the lost. Paul was praying for spirit-filled believers. This is a prayer that all believers should pray. Okay, y'all got that? After teaching on this prayer, Dad Hagen stressed, if you're not happy with your life, if you want your life to be different for you, okay, don't raise your hand, but think for a moment. Are you really happy with your life? Do you want some things to be different? Sure. I think we could all say yes to that. You got some things you want changed. This is what he said. Then pray this prayer for at least 6 months. Don't pray it 1 week, then skip a week. Pray this prayer at least once a day, every single day for 6 months. You say, every single day for 6 months? I don't know if I have time to do that. Well, if you want your life changed, if you want something different to be done, and you know what? You pray this prayer, it takes you 2 minutes. Pray it over and over again. Just stick with it until something happens. That's the key. You stick with it until something happens. If you do that, life will be different for you. The first thing that will happen is that the Bible will become a different book to you. Because you're praying for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You're asking for that. Do you know that this book right here is the most relevant book you could read today? And it was written 2,000 years ago. Have you seen that? You've got a situation in your life, and you can think, but it's happening today. That was written way back then. But if you let God, He'll take you to some scriptures, and it'll fit exactly where you're at. It's the most relevant book you can have. All right. Now, this is the story about him. He said, at 17, I was a teenage boy with an Afro hairdo, platform shoes, and bell-bottom blue jeans. I remember sitting on the back row of the church throwing spit wads into women's hairdos, carving designs in the pew with my pocket knife, and using the church songbook to make up funny lyrics with my friends. Now, this is the preacher's son. I had actually been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost for a long time, but I knew on the inside I was not where I was supposed to be in my walk with God. I had trouble with the world, the flesh, and the devil during the week. I remember he told the story where he brought a girlfriend home, and his mama saw him, and he was looking at her for approval, and when the girl wasn't looking, she went, because she had on a really short skirt, and his comment, but he mouthed to her, and he says, but I love her! So you can see where he was at in his life. He was a typical, you know, trying to find his place in life child. I was the church's special project. Whenever our church had revival meeting ones, everyone prayed for me. When I came forward for prayer, they knew it was revival time. We had a lot of revival in those days because every time an evangelist came to my dad's church, I dedicated and rededicated my life to the Lord until my rededicator wore out. You ever done that? God, I promise I'll never do that again. God, please, I'll never do that again. Anyway, raised in a Pentecostal church, we constantly heard you need to be more dedicated. You don't pray enough, you don't give enough, you don't come to church enough, you don't witness enough, you just don't do anything enough. You need to be more dedicated. Something is wrong with your dedicator. You ever been there, done that? Do you let the devil tell you that now? Somehow it seemed like we just needed to be a little bit more dedicated so our lives would work better. Over and over again, I went forward to pray for my dedication until my rededicator seemed to develop some technical difficulties. My dedicator kicked in on Sunday, kicked out again by Monday, and didn't start working again until the next Saturday night. Y'all getting the picture here? Y'all young kids, I hope y'all getting a picture here. Whenever I heard that Dad Hagen was coming for 3 weeks of meeting, I polished up my rededicator. I always made sure that I repented before he came because I knew he was a prophet. God might use him in the word of knowledge and tell everyone what I had done the night before. Before the service began, I walked into the foyer and prayed, "Oh God, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. If you forgive me and forget my sins, then you can't tell Dad Hagen and he can't tell everybody else. Besides, he tells my daddy's going to kill me, and Lord, I won't be of any use to you if I'm dead." One Sunday morning, as I sat on the back row, not paying attention to the service, this big preacher walked in the front door. Brother F.E. Ward was another prophet, a big, heavyset man who loved God, prayed a lot, and usually showed up at our church with no warning. My dad saw him and said, "Brother Ward, why don't you come on up here and say whatever you feel like the Lord wants you to say to our congregation?" Brother Ward walked up on the platform, made a few comments. Then he pointed all the way to the back of the church, and he said, "I want the pastor's son to come up here to the front because I have a word from God for him." I was just a teenager sitting on the back row with a worn-out dedicator. I'd just been sinning on Saturday night, and I forgot to repent in the foyer. I didn't know Brother Ward was coming. I just about passed out when my friend poked me in the side and laughed as he whispered, "You're a dead duck now." I mean, it's funny, but you know, we can live our lives this way every day. I got up and started walking to the front of the church. All the way down the aisle, I prayed fervently, trying not to move my lips. "Lord, I'm asking you right now to please forgive me of my sins. You said you would forgive me, and you said you would forget my sin. If you forget my sins, then you can't tell Brother Ward. So if you haven't already told him, Lord, please don't tell him right now." By the time I reached the front of the church, I fully expected a giant fly swatter to come out of heaven and squash me on the carpet. Then God would speak, "Let this be an example to the rest of you who choose to live this way. Put 12 stones on that spot and tell your kids about it." You know, this is funny, but you know really what he had a problem was? He didn't understand the love of God. Amen. And there's a lot of adults, we're talking about young people, there's a lot of adults that don't understand the love of God. That's a revelation that you need to have if you don't understand the love of God. I was expecting bad news, but when this prophet of God began to prophesy over me, he spoke to me about the goodness of God and the plan of God for my life. The love of God hit me and just melted me down. I began to cry like a baby right there in front of everybody. All I could think was, God is so good. He's so good. See, the change, he came in contact with the love of God. I received a revelation of the love of God. That's what happened. God didn't want to expose him. God didn't want to point out his failures to nobody. God's not a God that's mad at you. But I can tell you what, some of the circumstances that you'll find yourself in life in, if you'll think about it and you'll look at about it, if you're weak in that area of understanding and have a revelation of God's love for you, one of the first things the devil will say to you in a subtle kind of way that only you can understand, is that, you know, maybe it's possible that happened because God's mad at you. I've heard Creflo Dollar teach on that, that things will happen. And the first thing, when things happen, a calamity comes, a situation comes in your life that's challenging, one of the first things that the enemy will want to use is to take that situation and steal the revelation that you have of how much God loves you. Because if you don't believe God loves you, you ain't going to talk to him. You ain't going to trust him. And you'll try to fix everything on yourself. So what this man experienced, or this teenager at the time, was he ran right smack into the revelation that God loves him. The Bible says the goodness of God leads men to repentance. That's Romans 2:4. My dedicator started working better after I got a revelation of God's love and goodness towards me and a glimpse of his plan and purpose for my life. Now, I like to say this humorously because they say if you play country music backwards, then you get your house back, your wife back, your dog back, and your job back. Anybody in here country music fans? After the revelation of the love of God hit me, I thought I should write a country western song called Jesus Loved the Hell Out of Me. And you know, there's a lot of truth to that. That's what Jesus does. That's what he did when he went to the cross. He loved the hell out of us, so we won't wind up in hell. I mean, how precious is that? But do we have a revelation of it? So much of what I found out with me was I knew it up here, but I didn't know it down here. And when you know it up here, you try to walk it out, and then you get so discouraged, you beat yourself up. But when you know it down here, you'll walk it out because you know, and nobody can take it away from you. And that's what praying the Ephesians 1 prayer, for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, and the eyes of your understanding to be enlightened. You know, where do you need help in? Maybe it's not a revelation that God loves you. Maybe it's a revelation that you're forgiven. I mean, totally, completely forgiven. Do you know God will never bring your sins up to you? But do we bring our sins up to God? You know, maybe it's a revelation that God, as Jean was talking to us this morning, you know, seed time and harvest, or that God wants to take care of everything for you, provide everything for you. What kind of revelation do you have need of? Let me go on and finish this. He said, I don't mean to be crude or irreverent. Let me explain. I went to school, and the teachers tried to educate the hell out of me. I mean, he was heading towards hell. Preacher's son, heading towards hell. School tried to educate the hell out of him. At 17, I was put in jail. They tried to rehabilitate the hell out of me. I went to church, and preachers tried to preach the hell out of me. I went home, and my daddy would try to beat the hell out of me. Now, I really think his daddy didn't do that, but he's saying this. Maybe he did. I went to Jesus. Listen to this. I went to Jesus, and he just loved the hell right out of me. That's a revelation. In other words, a revelation of the love of God took all that rebellion out of me. You ever heard this statement? Somebody I know in this room is going to know this. Without a relationship. Say it out loud. Breeds rebellion. Thank you. Rules without relationship breeds rebellion. Now, many of us in this room possibly grew up in maybe a church that taught you a lot of rules. Do this, don't do that, don't go here. Religion. You know, taught religion? I was taught religion. So I had a bunch of rules without relationship. So my life has been one of, I would say to God, I said, I feel so rebellious. Why am I rebellious? But see, I knew in my head Jesus had died for me. But I didn't know it down here. And so this is what happened to him, Mark Hankins. You know, he had all these rules. Pray more, give more, read more, work more. Well, that's a bunch of rules without a relate. You take relationship out of all of that. When God just says, let me love you. Let me just love on you. I'll take care of the things you need to do. Let me take care of them. And when you know how much God loves you, you'll do anything and everything for him. If you have a revelation, because it takes all the rebellion out. Now, let me go on. Instead of just struggling for more and more dedication, I had a breakthrough in my understanding and a breakthrough in revelation. After the revelation of God's love hit me like a lightning bolt, I was determined to receive more revelation knowledge and spiritual understanding of God and his amazing love. When you pray the prayer from Ephesians and you begin to have revelation come to you and understanding come to you and your eyes be enlightened, it will cause you to be so hungry for more. It's like a light going on in a dark room. The questions that you have, you start getting them answered. It's like you start seeing it in the Word and say, there it is. And it was there all along. He said, I began to pray the Ephesians 1 prayer as Dad Hagen had instructed us to do so many times. This prayer is not for more dedication, but for more revelation that will affect your dedication. Does that make sense? Dedication is essential and important in our walk with God, but a greater measure of our dedication and consecration to God flows out of greater revelation. We've had it backwards, and therefore we have lived very defeated lives because the devil makes sure he tells you that you've not done enough. You haven't read enough, you haven't prayed enough, you hadn't gone to church enough, and then eventually you get tired and you throw up your hands and say, well, I really don't care if I do it any. That can happen. And your dedication just goes out the door. But let it flow out of that love relationship with the Father. Oh, my goodness. You won't want to quit praying. You won't want to quit reading. You won't want to quit giving. You won't want to quit doing. But it's coming forth out of the right reason. The more revelation we receive of God's goodness towards us, the deeper our level of consecration or dedication will be. He said, now, if this prayer came out of the Pentecostal church, this is what this prayer would have sounded like. Father God, I'm just praying right now, Lord, that you help those believers become more dedicated. And I bet that has been prayed a lot. And God, help me be more dedicated. Help them be more dedicated, Lord. They need more dedication, so just give it to them. Why don't they pray more, witness more, give more, praise more? Lord, why aren't they more dedicated? Somehow, some way, Lord, help them be more dedicated. Have you ever prayed that for yourself? Don't answer. God, help me. Help me go to church when I don't want to go to church. Help me go pray when I don't want to go pray. But you know what? When you got a revelation, you know what? This, I believe, reason God's put it back on my heart again, I believe as a body of Christ, before Jesus returns, this is the place we've got to enter into. This is where we have to understand wisdom and revelation, spirit of wisdom and revelation, and have a revelation of the love that God has for us. Because God needs us, and when we get this revelation, you can't keep us from church. You can't keep us from giving. You can't keep us from showing up at prayer meetings. And it's been said that before Jesus returns, there'll be an outpouring of prayer. There'll be an outpouring of miracles, and there'll be an outpouring of restoration. But first, as we pray the Ephesians 1 prayer, we get a revelation of that, wisdom and understanding of it. But this will help you in your own personal life, but then as the body of Christ. As important as dedication is actually fueled by revelation. That was certainly news to me when I was 17 years old. I had been raised in church all my life, but I thought my problem was my worn-out dedicator. Really, all I needed the entire time was more revelation of my identity in Christ. That's the revelation that he had need of. Now, I'm not making light of dedication to the Lord. Paul, however, did not say that we needed more dedication in Ephesians. His prayer was, he said, that we need more revelation. When you receive revelation from God, your God, your dedicator will inevitably crank up a notch. You will say, I have to follow the plan of God. I have been given revelation. Not, I have to follow the plan of God because I want to be dedicated. I hope when you leave here, the word revelation echoes in your ears for days. I still wore platform shoes and bell-bottom blue jeans. I still had a big Afro hairdo, but I prayed the Ephesians prayer over and over again, never losing sight of Dad Hagen's instructions. Pray it until something happens. I knew I had to stick with it. If I prayed the prayer 1 week and then skipped three, it wasn't going to work. So I prayed it without fail, morning, noon, and night, day after day, week after week. And he broke it down like this. And I like praying this way. I like praying it out of the Bible, but I like praying it this way too. And in a few moments, we're going to hand this out to you so you can have this version and take it home with you. But he says, Father God, here's what I want from you. I want you to give unto me the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you so the eyes of my understanding would be enlightened. I want to know the call of God on my life. Don't you want to know what God's called you to do? You have a purpose. Every single one of us in this room has a purpose, and it's different for each one of us. But you want to get it from God. Not what everybody else may be trying to tell you that you ought to do. Now, I will back up when I say that. God will use people to help direct your footsteps. But you want to hear from God. So he said, I want to know the call of God on my life, the inheritance that belongs to me, the authority I have as a believer. I thank you, Father, for helping me to see more clearly. My greatest need is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I thank you for opening up my eyes. Now, if I had asked you at the beginning of the service, I would have said, what is your greatest need? Write down on a piece of paper what your greatest need is. Y'all think for a minute. What would you have written down? We'd all put something down. Now, any of you remember me sharing this 2 years ago, might would have put, my greatest need is the spirit of wisdom and revelation. It's not to get a new job. It's not to buy a new house. It's not to receive healing in my body. It's not to find that place of peace and joy. That's all a byproduct of a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Does this make any sense? Y'all are looking at me really hard. Okay? Let me share a couple of thoughts, and then we're going to get to our little visual here. I need the truth of God's word to uproot any wrong belief. So when you pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, the truth of God's word will come in and uproot any wrong belief that you have. And a wrong belief can hold you in a prison. A wrong belief that God's mad at you will keep you from walking in faith and receiving things God has for you. A wrong belief, you've been told. You ever thought, well, God put this sickness on me? We laugh at that, but it's very true in parts of the body of Christ. God made me sick because I did this or that. So a spirit of wisdom and revelation will uproot those wrong beliefs. The enemy hates it when we pray for revelation because it exposes him. And a breakthrough in revelation enables me to see things from God's perspective. Let me read just two more things. I want to share this thought with you. Did you know that the Holy Spirit's a genius? And if we listen to him, he'll make us look really smart. But if we don't listen to him, we're going to look really dumb. But the Holy Spirit's a genius. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit took residence inside of you. You got the Spirit of truth, working on the inside of you. And if we listen to him, he'll make us look smart. If we ignore him, we'll look normal. I said dumb, but we'll kind of look normal, I guess. If we listen and respond to the Holy Spirit, we can avoid trouble in every area of our lives because he knows everything. I wanted to read you, let me find this really quick. Revelation does not necessarily come easily or conveniently. You have to be determined and say, God, I'm asking you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And you have to stick with it. Do you hear that? Because the devil will try to talk you out of it. Because he understands more of what will happen than you do. You've got to stick with it. And there would be times when I would see things and I would begin to see things and get some answers that I would get so hungry for. There's times I would pray that prayer in the morning. I'd pray it before I went to bed at night. And I've heard him say he carried a little card in his pocket. And every time he had a break, he took it out and prayed that prayer. Now, you're not praying in unbelief. You're praying out of hunger. You're saying, God, this is what I want. And Paul said, I don't cease from praying for you. So Paul prayed it for him a lot. And so, you know what? You aren't going to overdose on doing this. You ain't going to pray it too much. She said, I don't know what your area of struggling is in, but I do know that God's already done it in Christ. Whatever you need, spirit, soul, body, finances, healing, whatever you need, the Holy Spirit can reveal and transmit your new identity to you through the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I'm going to stop there on that because I want to do this right here. Would anybody have an idea what's inside this? Want to take a guess? Well, candy is what came in it. But I promise you I'm not going to hand out candy today. But when the Lord put this on my heart to do this, I saw this. And this is how I want to do it. This is a gift. Okay? This is a gift. And so, let's say that somebody brings this gift to my front door, and Dusty goes to the door, okay? And he brings, you know, they answers the door, and there's a person on the other side. Well, he has a choice, doesn't he? Am I going to take that gift, or am I not going to take that gift? And especially if it's somebody he don't know. Would you be tempted to not take the gift? Yeah. In this day and time, you'd be tempted to not take the gift. But wouldn't you be curious what's on the inside of it? Yep. Okay. So let's say he takes the gift, and because it looks so pretty, he brings it to me. Right?
Amen.
So he brings it to me, and I've got the gift. And so I stand, and I look at it, and I think, you know, that's really pretty. And I wonder who sent it to me, and should I open it, or should I not open it? Maybe I say, I'm going to wait a day. I got to think about it. So I set it down. And I go on about my business. But every time then I walk by there and I think, should I open that? Because it don't have a name on it. And I'm not sure I should open that or not. And a few days go by and finally I think, okay, my curiosity gets the best of me and I think that I should open it. Okay, this is how we do the things of God sometimes. We have a free gift from Jesus. And Jesus gave us everything. In fact, let's go to Romans 8. We'll give you a scripture to back this up. Romans 8. This is one of my favorite scripture verses. It is verse 32, Tim. And I'm going to do it in the New King James, or the King James, whichever one you've got. But this is what God has done for us. He who did not withhold or spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, will he not also with him freely and graciously give me all other things? Is that not a gift? Okay, do you ever talk to God about those all other things that he's given you? Or do we just, you know, accept Jesus as the gift? I guess the point I'm trying to make is, everything's been given to us, but have we embraced it? Do you know who you are in Christ? I mean, really know. Do you know what Christ has provided for you? Salvation. But do you know in the other things? And this isn't a, you know, point of finger. This is an encouragement. If you don't know, find out. Hey, listen, I've been born again 42 years. I don't know everything. And I know it more in mental assent than revelation. And so I take this gift and I decide that I'm going to open it up. And I hope today when you leave here and as you go home, and you begin to read the Ephesians 1 prayer, you can see it as a gift that you're opening. Because I'm telling you what, you pray this out of a sincere heart, God will flood you with wisdom and revelation. He'll flood you with it. So that when you open up the Word of God, you're going to see, ooh, that's mine? And it was there all along. Let me read you a scripture. You don't, Mike, Tim, you don't have to go to it. But this is Matthew 11:25. I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent, and you have revealed them to babes. If you're really smart, this ain't going to work for you. And it's not that God don't want you dumb, but you humble yourself and you go before God. And you say, I want to know who I am in Christ. I want to know what Jesus has done for me. I heard there's a quote in this book that God, that the Holy Ghost don't talk to smart people. He talks to hungry people. People that are really wanting to know who they are and what they have. So see this. Put this picture in your mind of this little can that I have here. So when you start reading Ephesians 1 prayer, and then I want to say this to our little Caleb here that's about to fall asleep. Well, listen, let me just say this. Caleb, you're 13 years old. If you take this prayer and you pray it, by the time you hit 66, only God knows what you'll be doing. I'm 66. Mark Hankins prays this all the time. Billy Brim prays this all the time. Brother Hagin prayed this all the time. And we don't know all the other people. But it will open up so many doors for you. It will cause you to see the call of God that's on your life. It'll cause you to see your inheritance, who you are in Christ. And it'll cause you to stand in the authority that God has given you through Jesus. And when you stand in that place, you'll keep things off of you. Amen. You'll keep them off of you. So, you know, that's just, I mean, Caleb and I, and the girls. I got two girls here. You start praying this now. Pray it every day. I can't imagine what God will do for you. And I'm only picking them out. Gene, your boys, they're young. Who else in here is young? Gene held his hand up. If you're under 20, hold your hand up. Okay, you're under 20. Take this to your heart and pray it. Simply pray it. Let God open up the word to you. It will be astounding. That's what God will do for you. It'll be astounding. Now, for us older folks, we still got some time. Amen. God's still got things for us to do, places He wants us to go, people He wants us to meet. Amen. And things He wants to fix in us that maybe you've been dealing with since you were 20 years old, but didn't have the wisdom and the revelation for it to be fixed. Okay, this is what's inside here. So you see this. You see this container, and you can know that think about it, every time you read the Ephesians 1 prayer, this is what's going to happen. In here, I have listed some things that you are in Christ, because that's the revelation that's going to come. One, in Christ, I'm accepted. You pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. You let God reveal that to you. Jesus made you acceptable. Did you know that? You don't have to be acceptable to your next door neighbor. You don't have to be acceptable to your boss at work. You don't have to be a slave to acceptance. Any of you in here are a slave to acceptance? You want everybody's approval? You don't have to be. Jesus paid the price. That's who you are in Christ. You're acceptable in Him. I'm going to give you a couple of scriptures. We don't have time to read them all. If you're taking notes, let me just give you one. Romans 8:1. We can quote Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. You're accepted. The Song of Solomon 4:7. You look that one up. That one's really neat. Okay. What else are you in Christ? In Christ, you have peace and joy. Are you experiencing that? You need a revelation on it? You pray the Ephesians 1 prayer. You have peace and joy. John 14:27, Romans 15:13. In Christ, I have everything I need. You have a revelation of that? Everything. Whether it's physical, mental, emotional, financial. Everything. We just read that scripture in Romans. He spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all. How shall He not with Him also freely give me all things? But you all got to understand, it helps if you pray Ephesians 1 prayer. It opens up the box. That's the reason for the box. That's the reason for the container. It opens it up. It takes the lid off. The greatest need you have is a spirit of wisdom and revelation. And I can tell you, when I first started saying that, I thought, I don't know about that. But the more I've prayed it, I realize that is the truth. Because when you've got wisdom and revelation, you got answers. And you're smart. In Christ, I'm more than a conqueror. You got some areas in your life you need to be more of a conqueror in? Romans 8:37 says, I'm more than a conqueror, and I gain a surpassing victory through Christ who loves me. You're not more than a conqueror and gain a surpassing victory through your own efforts. It comes because Christ loves you. And he died and paid the price for everything on the cross. In Christ, I overcome every adversity in life. Romans 8:31. Every adversity in life through Christ. Do you need a revelation of that? You need understanding of that? In Christ, I am completely forgiven. How many of you are still holding on what you did in the past? Hadn't let go of it yet. You need a revelation of your forgiveness. I know Joyce Myers, I've heard her say she visit insane asylums. And she'd walk down the hall and she'd walk by people and they'd say, "It's just all my fault. It's just all my fault. It's just all my fault." They didn't know they were completely forgiven for whatever it was their fault. Because the devil wants you to pay for what you've done. When God says, there's no condemnation in your life because you're in Christ. We have got to see who we are in Christ. I mean, a revelation. Joseph Prince says, let me have an ink pen. Joseph Prince says, this is what it's like to be in Christ. Okay, let's do the book here. See this book? See the ink pen? We're like the ink pen. You shut the book, you can no longer see the ink pen, right? That's what we're like in Christ. We're hid. Do you know we're hid in Christ? But we need a revelation of it. Then we'll be more than a conqueror. Instead of that thing conquering me, I'm going to conquer it. In Christ, I have favor. That's Psalms 5:12 and Romans 6:14. I'm sorry we can't do all these scriptures. I knew we wouldn't be able to. But this will give you something to look at home. In Christ, I have God's protection. Psalms 46:1. He is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in the time of trouble. He's our protection. Do you need revelation in that? Do you deal with fear? Do you need a revelation of God's love for you? Because in John, it says, 1 John, it says, 4, it says, perfect love will cast out all fear. If you deal with fear and anxiety and so on and so forth, you know what you need? You need a revelation of God's love. The enemy wants you to hide in the house and do whatever, whatever. But you just need a revelation of God's love. And then 1 John 4:10, in Christ I'm loved. 1 John 4:10 says, for this is love. Not that I love God, but that he loves me. And he gave Jesus to be the propitiation, the atoning sacrifice for my sins. It's not how much you can love God. It's how much does God love me. And then this one. In Christ I am righteous. 2 Corinthians 5:21. And when you understand your righteousness, it's a very powerful revelation for you to have against the enemy. You're always right with God because of the blood of Jesus. You don't go in and out of it. You know, if you have someone that loves you, and they'll love you with the love of God, when you do something wrong, you know what? They'll still love you. That's the way God is. Us humans, we have to work on that. But it's not how much I love God, but it's how much he loves me. And he proved that when he sent Jesus to go to the cross. And I think I gave you a scripture on that one. So let me see. I think I've just dropped ink pens. And if there's anything else that I want to share with you. You cannot understand what God has done for you in Christ without the help of the Holy Spirit, without the Spirit of wisdom and revelation. Pastor David Youngie Cho said that the Holy Spirit doesn't talk to smart people. In other words, if you already think you know everything, the Holy Spirit will not reveal anything to you. If you want the Holy Spirit to help you, you will have to become like a little child. And I'm going to leave that with you. Encourage you to pray Ephesians 1. Don't pray it just for yourself. Pray it for your family. You know, I've been praying it for my family. Granddaddy prays it for his family. We pray it for our kids and grandkids. So I believe because we've prayed that today and you all have sat here, you've received revelation. And then when you open up your Bible, you receive revelation. When you go to church, you receive revelation. Don't just pray it. Don't try to figure out how God's going to get it to him. That's up to him. Yeah. They may be riding down the road and it's like, boom. That's what it is. That's revelation. You ever gotten something happen like that and you thought you were real smart because you thought of it? And it might be you were real smart and you thought of it. I don't know. But you can just, let's give God the credit. How about that? We'll just give God the credit. So I hope you'll remember this little visual here that you got to open the package. And the way you do that is by praying the Ephesians 1 prayer. And I'm telling you what, I'm excited. Maybe we can do this again at the end of next year. I hope you grabbed hold of it. Really hope you grabbed hold of it. Give God a chance with this. Please, just give him. Let him take it and just begin to show you things. I mean, I could tell you some stories, but I'm not ready to tell those stories yet. Because I'm working, walking through it. But revelation that has come that has helped this child right here tremendously. Tremendously.